Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am Marina Antunes.
And I'm Colleen of No Fixed Address.
We are coming to you from
Whistler.
Yes, snowy Whistler.
Yeah.
It's very early on Friday morning.
Yes.
It's almost 1 a.m. We've had much coffee, much caffeinated beverage, I should say.
And bacon cheeseburger pizza.
That was very good.
It was tasty.
But yeah, we thought we'd sort of move ahead with the
December preview, since it's already December.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hooray.
We're dayless, so we're just gonna do this on the fly and hope for the best.
Yeah.
We watched a bunch of trailers. We think we know what we're talking about. If we ramble, I'm sorry.
I never know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, neither do I.
It doesn't stop me from spouting my opinion, though.
No, that's right.
Hooray.
And we are expecting house guests to be arriving at some point in the next little while, so
yes.
If you hear some excitement in the background, don't get too excited. It's only, you know, party people.
Intruders.
Exactly.
Phone the police.
Yeah, call the cops. But though by the time you hear this, it's going to be like, you know.
We'll be dead.
And buried in the front yard under like the feet of snow up there.
They'll find us when it thaws in like March.
That's right. But we'll get right to it because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes.
And starting today in certain cities. We have Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan, and today being December 3rd, I should add.
That's probably a good day
to start now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan with Natalie Portman, Mila Kunis, and the fabulous Vincent Cassel about a woman that basically drives herself mental. She's a ballerina, first role as like the prima ballerina. It looks badass. The reviews are awesome. And, like, it just looks like Rosemary's Baby, but for 2010.
Who would have thought someone was able to make a film about ballet and Snow Lake and actually make it going, hey, that looks kick-ass.
Yeah, and the trailers are so badass.
Oh, when the mirror doesn't mimic what she's actually doing? Yeah. Oh, God, that's creepy.
For me, I think the image that really got me in the trailer, and I guess it was one of the later trailers where she pulls that black sort of feather thing out of her back.
Yeah, she's losing her freaking mind.
I'm like, oh, this is so 1970s horror. loving it. So yeah, that's Black Swan. It opens in Vancouver, incidentally, on December 10th, which is fabulous news for us. So we are going to get to see it before Christmas, which is beautiful. Also opening, and I guess I should start, we already started, but sort of a disclaimer. Lots of the stuff for December, as usual, is sort of limited release. So you might see it, you might not.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of hit and miss. So our apologies in advance, but here we go. Continuing on, Andrew Jarecki's All Good Things with Ryan Gosling, Kristen Dunst, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Not quite sure what to make of this, other than it looks cool.
I think someone dies. And that's the whole point of the film.
Yeah,
someone dies.
There seems to be, you know, there's somebody in a trunk somewhere is the feeling that I'm getting.
Yeah.
There's a family involved, you know, people with money, people without money.
Right side of the tracks, wrong side of the tracks, blah, blah, blah.
Pretty much. I think the title is rather unfortunate, as is the poster, because it sort of makes it sound like this sort of run-of-the-mill
blasé, yeah. Emo, blah.
Yeah, but the trailer actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
For me, I really like the trailer. I like the look of it.
I was kind of indifferent on it. I'm not sure I'll actually go see it, but I'm not the biggest Ryan Gosling fan, so.
I do like him. I think he does good work.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, moving on. Also opening on December 3rd in LA and New York. The movie that is apparently still coming out, I Love You, Philip Morris, with Jim Carrey and Ian McGregor, about a guy that goes to prison and falls in love with another guy.
Isn't this like the third or fourth time we've talked about this film?
Yes.
I'm done. If I was ever interested, I'm so not interested now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat. And I saw a headline today, and I wish I could remember where it was. So sorry, it would have been yesterday. And it was something like, "Is I Love You, Philip Morris too gay for 2010? So, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I really have lost interest in this. I'm with you. It's been around so long.
I've never liked Jim Carrey, though. I only like him when he's actually not allowed to play himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Also opening in limited release, Tanya Hamilton's Night Catches Us. It seems to be the story of a couple of folks that used to be involved with the Black Panther movement that sort of, you know, come back together after one of them has been in jail, it sounds like. Not really sure what to make of this. I kind of like the leads, Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington, who's fabulous. But the trailer is just really dull.
You know what this film has going for it? It's not a Tyler Perry film.
Yeah, and I tend to like the 1970s big costume dramas.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of costume dramas, even though it's the 70s. But yeah, like I say, I like the leads, but the story is just kind of, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it wasn't very compelling, and it was very obvious when the music kicked in, because the first half of the trailer, there was like no music, it was just sort of vague dialogue and that, and it was boring as hell. Then the music kicked in, and then it was only slightly less boring than hell. So
yeah, it did get a little bit better once the music started towards the third part of the trailer, but
yeah.
Still just sort of one that's been getting a lot of attention through the late festival circuit because it's played a couple of festivals late in the year is Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. Now, I think this is Danish.
Finnish? Danish.
Thank you.
Finnish director.
Okay. So I'm not quite sure. It's from somewhere over there. That sounds so awful.
The Scandinavian,
yes,
damn them.
I'm sorry. I just like plopped everybody into like one big hole. Somewhere in Europe, okay?
Where it's you have a problem with Northern European ancestry? You Southern and European ancestry person?
No, I actually don't. I actually quite love them. Thank you very much.
Good. We'll solve your guilt to fish next time you're over.
Right. Now, this is interesting because if I'm remembering this correctly, this was a short film to begin with, which I've seen. It's online, and it's absolutely fabulous. We'll link to it. And you really have to see it. It's hilarious. It's great. And they've sort of expanded it into a full feature. And it seems like they've changed the story a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah. the short film, if I remember right, was about they would dig for these people and train them into Santa Claus and then ship them out to various parts of the world.
Yeah.
The Rare Exports. But this one here, it seems like they find Saint Nick. And he's, like, killing people or something.
Yeah, and then extortion kind of thing.
Yeah, it still looks badass.
Yeah, I have never really got the sentimentality around Christmas. I'm the kid that told all the other kids Santa doesn't exist and things like that. I know. I've never really got the sickening sentimentality of the season. So when I see, like, unique and funny sort of things, I kind of dig it. Like, the Hebrew hammer I was talking about the other
day. That's right. On the drive up to Whistler, we were talking about the Hebrew hammer.
Hebrew hammer,
which
baby.
Which looks freaking hilarious. Okay, this is, I'm not sure. I must be so far into UHF territory that I totally missed this. The Warrior's Way. I was already going to see this from the opening of this trailer, but by the middle, I was fucking sold.
Oh my God! Like Sukiyaki Western Django, but actually in Wild Wild West of America.
Yeah.
Like, dude, this looks redonkulous.
So it's about an assassin who passes up on a job and ends up in the American Badlands, like in the West.
Hiding.
It is freaking awesome, and it stars Jeffrey Rush and Kate Bosworth to go with it, with Dong Goon Jang. I shouldn't have tried to mention that. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, and Danny Houston's in there as well. Bonus points. Danny Houston, bonus points.
Hooray.
Looks badass. Like, seriously, seriously badass.
Yeah. Cult film written all over it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's not marked as limited release, so hopefully we'll actually get to see a relatively large release of that, and it'll open in Vancouver because I really want to see that one. Also opening in limited release on December 3rd, Mascara. With Nick Stahl, about a small town detective who looks to solve a mystery. Not quite sure what to make of this. It looks kind of okay. I'm a big Nick Stahl fan, but his movies always suck.
Like
he's really good, and mm-hmm. he tends to be good in them, but...
Has he got a bit of the Nicolas Cage going on? You're just waiting for it? You're waiting for something good out of the dude?
Well, I don't know. I think what it is I think he's the one that was on Carnival, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good in that. And I've seen him in a couple of other movies, and he's not bad in them. The movies are just shit in general.
Yeah.
And this one, sadly, looks like it kind of falls into that same category. But I don't know. I'm hoping for the best, but I don't have my hopes up too
high. Yeah, me neither. I pass on that one.
Yeah, well, I highly doubt we'll get to see it anytime soon.
There you go. It saves me even that effort.
There you go. Opening December 10th, one of the films that a lot of people are talking about is The Tourist. Now, a couple of reasons why I would be interested in this film. It's directed by Florian von Donnersmack, who directed... The Lives of Others, which won the Foreign Film Oscar a couple of years back, which I absolutely loved. But sadly, it stars Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie. Paul Bettany is like the only saving grace in this. And it's basically about a guy who travels to Venice and finds himself with a woman who might be some sort of secret agent. It just looks... I don't know. It looks pretty, but just... The story is just kind of bland.
Yeah, it did nothing for me. Plus, I'm not a big fan of Angelina
Jolie.
Johnny Depp, I really wish he would just start doing some smaller, independent, good roles than these big sort of things, which I just don't think is working, really.
Yeah, I like both Angelina and I like Johnny Depp in most things. I'm not as much of... Johnny Depp is God fan as some other folks.
Yeah.
And Paul Bettany really is God, so, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
I really like Paul Bettany. But yeah, this story is just kind of like, eh.
Well, when I think of the films I like Johnny Depp in, they're not the big blockbusters. No. It's like Chocolat and What's Eating Gilbert Grape and a the bunch classics. Of other. Yeah.
Come on, dude. No love for 21 Jump Street?
Oh, dude, don't even get me started. I had to watch so many episodes of that just to see if my cousin was on it, because she was an extra in one of them.
You motherfucker. Got to see her hand?
Oh, one time she actually got a speaking role with Johnny Depp.
Okay, that's cool.
He came running down the hallway. Which way did he go? And my cousin's point and went that way.
That's a pretty cool thing to be able to tell your kids, man.
Oh, yes, Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Hells yeah.
I'm sure they like had lunch together and discussed roles and things.
I'm sure they discussed how they were going to play those lines off.
Exactly.
I like it. I like it. Okay, here is one which I can't help myself but get excited for. I'm a big Julie Taymor fan, like big. The Tempest, her adaptation of William Shakespeare's The Tempest with Helen Mirren, Felicity Jones, Ji-moon Hyun-soo, and a whole bunch of other people whose half their names I can't remember. Everybody is in this. As expected, it looks fantastic. Like, it just looks beautiful. She's made a few little changes to the story. You know, changed the lead character to a woman. I don't know if that really matters in today's day and age, but I don't know. I'm going to go see it. No questions asked.
I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt, because normally I hate pretty much anything to do with Shakespeare, because I think he's so overdone. But it actually does look good, so I may have to swallow my... pride and watch something from Shakespeare again. Damn it.
Good call. Okay, moving on. Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of Dawn Treader, the new Chronicles of Narnia. Now, I have a feeling we're up to number 3, but I can't be 100% sure because...
I don't remember the second one.
Neither do I. No, I do remember it very vaguely, but it seems like it was so long ago. And it almost feels like this movie should have come out last year for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't really been following the story. I'm not really sure what it's about. I'm assuming we're returning back to Narnia. Ben Barnes is in it, so I'm assuming Prince Caspian is back. I don't know. It looks kind of cool, you know, but it's coming around Christmas. So, you know, lots of other stuff to see. It might be good for the kids, family night out, but...
You know what? Save yourself the freaking headache and actually read the books, which actually are not horrid.
Agreed. Moving on, also opening on the 10th, The Company Man. Now, I have a feeling we talked about this last month, but this stars Ben Affleck, Chris Cooper, and Tommy Lee Jones. And it's about following three guys who end their lives after they lose their jobs, basically. Sounds kind of bland, but three good actors. I'm assuming it's a fairly good script.
Sounds like the feel-good film of the year. Was it Three Lawyers Die? Or is it just Businessmen? Okay, that's not as good then. Three lawyers take their own lives? I could see it, yeah. Apologies to lawyers that I actually like. There's not many, but there's some.
That's right.
Serena.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damn, good call.
I know. Cover my bases.
Nice save there.
She could sue my ass.
That's right. Also opening on December 10th, this is David O. Russell's The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Amy Adams. And I believe Melissa Leo is also in here. Now, it's about a dude who's like a boxer and his brother who's also a boxer. And they train together and one of them is a fuck up and the other one isn't. Everybody is talking about Christian Bale because apparently he steals the show as the, you know, drug addicted brother. You're doing a little round around finger thing. I totally agree. I can understand sort of, because I mean, I like David O. Russell, so I can sort of see people buzzing about this.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer is just really doesn't do anything for me.
You know what I'm going to do instead of watch this film?
What?
I'm going to watch the remake of Planet of the Apes and like it.
Oh, wow. Really?
Hell yeah.
Well, no. I like
the Planet of the Apes remake.
Oh, no. So do I. But
I know. Few and far between. Most people hated it.
Yeah, no. I actually did like it. I did enjoy it quite a bit. I just can't see what in this trailer is so damn appealing. I mean, yeah,
you get Christian to see him Bale with his shirt off.
Well, no, I mean, and Christian Bale looks like he's acting, but then he looks like he's acting when he tries. Mm-hmm. The only time he seems to be sleepwalking is Batman.
Equilibrium.
Okay, fuck you.
Awesome. I knew that was going to happen. Waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah. And for us Vancouver folks, The Fighter opens on the 17th at The Ridge. Moving on to actual December 17th and the big stuff that's opening. The movie that we've been talking about for like 2.5 years, Tron Legacy. Now, the interesting thing I think about this is that there was a screening for this for the media, I think last week or the week before. And it's all been very hush-hush because, you know, you can't really talk about it because of the embargoes. But the general feeling is that this isn't very good. And my one response was, no fucking hey, eh? You really expected like a masterpiece? Yeah, it looks badass, but that's about it.
They're trying to remake a film that was sort of kind of cutting edge, futuristic-esque 20 years ago.
I mean, I think Tron was cool 20 years ago because the special effects were cool.
Exactly.
Years ago.
It was cool. And like the whole computer thing was just sort of in its infancy. Yeah. Now it's like, why the hell am I watching two guys on bikes? Leaving like electric neon sort of streaks and...
No, I will say this. I think it looks awesome. Like, look-wise, the trailers are fantastic. The design, it looks great. Visually, it looks like a really great thing. But really, did we expect something really, really good out of this movie? Like, a good story?
And polishing a turd.
I love it. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, I'm still excited. I'm still going to go and see it, but
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Okay, here's one I can pass on. Yogi Bear.
The only way I would see this if it was an actual biography of Yogi Berra.
Okay, you know.
Because then that'd be pretty funny because that guy's quotes are awesome.
I'll tell you this much. The voice talent of Dan Aykroyd, Justin Timberlake, and Anna Faris have me like 1% interested. And then I look at the poster, and I just don't want to ever see this.
Hey, Boo-Boo, till you have a picnic basket?
Lame.
Yeah,
lame.
No shit.
Lame.
I wouldn't send my freaking nephew off to that. The little boy's brain.
I don't blame you. Smart.
Instead,
smart.
I'm going to make him watch Emperor of the North again. He loves that film. It's awesome.
That's great.
Lee Marvin with the hammer on the rope. And that's Ernest Borgnine with the rope and the hammer, and Lee Marvin underneath the drain and the hammer. Oh my God, that's just so awesome. And Leland Cheers.
That's fabulous.
I love my 4-year-old nephew. A little punk.
Also opening on the 17th, James L. Brooks returns to direct How Do You Know, starring Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd, Owen Wilson. This trailer looks bland. That's not even bland. It's like, I like Paul Rudd, which is about the only saving grace about this trailer.
I don't like any of these people.
Well, Paul Rudd is awesome. But the movie still looks like shit.
Didn't Owen Wilson, like, kill himself?
Try to.
Oh.
Let's not make fun of it. But I do love Paul Rudd. The movie still looks like crap.
It looks like shit.
Okay.
Shiza.
We'll just move right along.
Okay.
Opening and limited release, Rabbit Hole, with Nicole Kidman, Aaron Eckhart, Diane Weist, and Sandra Oh. And it's about a husband and wife, Kidman and Eckhart, who are sort of trying to get over the death of their son, who died in a car accident. The trailer is actually, it's really beautiful, but I didn't really care too much for the trailer. But I really like John Cameron Mitchell. He directed Short Bus a couple of years ago, and everybody is, the reviews for this film are through the roof.
I'm not sure I want to see it because it just looks so goddamn depressing.
It does look very sad.
Like, I'm not sure I want to do that to myself.
You have to sort of be in a specific set of mind to watch something like this.
All right.
So, I don't know. I mean, the praise for Nicole Kidman has been through the roof. John Cameron Mitchell has been getting a lot of attention for his direction. I'll definitely see it. I just, you know, first we'll have to, you know, have a chance to see it, and two, you have to be...
I doubt it's going to come out to the burbs, and I'm not sure I'd go to Vancouver for it. Yeah.
Also opening in limited release, I'm having a hard time talking now, Casino Jack, about super lobbyist Jack Abramoff, based on true story, starring Kevin Spacey, acting like, I don't even know, overacting, let's say.
Two words, John Lovitz. I don't need to see this film.
I really like Barry Pepper, but yeah, I have no interest in this whatsoever. Kevin Spacey does nothing for me. We'll move along. We're getting through this pretty quick. A lot of crappy movies out there, too. Opening on December the 24th. Oh, fabulous. Little Fokker.
Pass.
Yeah, let's not even go any further
next
than that.
Let's move on to the good shit.
Yeah, the Coen brothers return with True Grit, Jeff Bridges, Matt Damon, and Hailee Steinfeld, who's been getting rave reviews for her performance and likely an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. Not a remake of the original. Apparently, it's based on the book that the original was based on as well.
Yeah.
They've taken sort of a different approach.
A retelling more than a remake.
That's exactly it. And apparently it's a really old school Western, and folks are loving it, though they're saying hardcore Coen fans might have a hard time trying to sort of get into this one because it's not like their usual fare.
No?
Not exactly sure what that means, but I'm game.
From watching the trailer, I thought totally Coen's. Just like film-wise and like the way they sort of approach things, I thought it totally looked like a Coen's film. But it may be story-wise, it might be different.
Yeah.
So I'm looking... This is probably number two or maybe number one of my favorites for this month.
Yeah, looking forward to. I agree. Also opening on December the 24th, Sofia Coppola returns after some time off. She hasn't directed anything in a little while. With Somewhere, starring Stephen Dorff, who apparently fell off the face of the earth for a while, and Elle Fanning. And Dorff plays an actor. He's in France, and he's basically dumped with his 11-year-old daughter. Trailer looks really pretty. I'm sort of hit and miss with Sofia Coppola, so I'm not quite sure what to think. Really like Stephen Dorff, really like Gal Fanning. I'll see it.
We watched this trailer less than a half hour ago, and I cannot remember one bit of that trailer.
Well, it's just sort of music over images, so...
That doesn't bode well in my mind. Oh, nothing.
It does. I think the trailer looks quite pretty.
I'm reading the description, and it doesn't even ring a bell, and I know I've seen this trailer.
Yeah, apparently Stephen Dorff is a bit of an ass and really hard to work with, hence why he hasn't gone, like, very far. Because he is a good actor, and I do like him, but yeah. Also opening in limited release, Sylvain Chomet's The Illusionist. This is from the director of Triplets of Belleville, which I love.
I love Triplets of Belleville.
From a original unmade script from mime filmmaker Jacques Tati. Sort of, I think it's semi-autobiographical. Played at VIFF to rave reviews, has been playing everywhere to rave reviews, looks beautiful. I'm game.
I bought actually a ticket for this and I ended up passing that last
night.
Day where I just was burnt out. It looks good. I would like to see it, and I generally speaking hate animation, so that's something.
But you like Triplets of Belleville.
I did. You know what it is? The division line is whether the film was made for children or whether it was made for adults. Because
mm-hmm.
I just hate Disney Pixar crap. I know I'll get flack for the Pixar part, but dude, I just don't care.
We're going to skip right over Gulliver's Travels. All you need to know is that it's opening. If you're going to see it, you're going to see it regardless of what we see. Personally, I think it looks like a moronic little film, but whatever.
Yeah.
Moving on to Country Strong. This came out of nowhere for me. I had no idea this was even in the works. Stars Gwyneth Paltrow, Leighton Meester, who some might recognize from Gossip Girl, Garrett Hedlund, who I seem to remember from some other movie, but for the life of me, I can't remember which one, and Tim McGraw. And it's about a down and out of her luck country singer who sort of comes out of rehab or is pulled out of rehab and tries to reboot her career. And look at that. Gwyneth Paltrow is actually singing.
I'm not a big fan of Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm really not a fan of country, but you know what? It doesn't look bad.
No, it doesn't. It's actually quite surprising. I knew that Gwyneth Paltrow could sing because I knew that she
had duets.
Duets she did quite well with. And then she appeared on Glee not that long ago and was really good. And apparently she knocked them out of the ballpark at the Country Music Awards when she performed live. So
oh, cool.
Apparently she's coming out with a country album. So there you go.
Of course she is.
Of course she is. I agree with you. It doesn't look awful. I would see it if it opened here.
You know what? It has so much going against it in my mind, like for my own personal taste, and yet it still doesn't look horrid. So in my mind, that's like A++ error to...
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Talking of beautiful, we'll get there in a minute. Opening, the last day of the year. We'll start with Blue Valentine, which we're actually going to be seeing later this week at the Whistler Film Festival.
Woohoo!
So we'll have a review for that for you on that later. This one stars Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams, and it's about a couple. I guess just a couple dealing with stuff.
And things.
And things. Now, the one thing to note about this is there has been a big hoopla about this film because the MPAA or whatever the ratings board is, I think it's the MPAA, gave it an NC-17 rating, which is like unheard of and basically makes the movie completely unreleasable.
Well, it's because he goes down on her. You can rape a woman and it'd be maybe an R if you're lucky, but you know, you go down on a girl kind of thing and she's enjoying herself. That's just completely unacceptable.
Well, and this is the thing, I actually hadn't heard why it got the NC-17.
No, that's the reason.
Oh, God almighty.
Yeah.
Somebody needs their fucking...
He was pleasuring her.
God fucking forbid.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you'll ever get to see it. The Weinsteins are fighting the NC-17 rating.
It's stupid. Literally, you could like show a spoon ripping out an eyeball and literally fucking a girl's skull against her will kind of thing. And it'd be R.
Yeah, it's true.
It's retarded.
I remember there was something similar with The Cooler because there was a scene with William H. Macy where he goes down on Maria Bello. And you see, like...
You can't encourage that behavior.
No,
oh, God,
no. You see,
no.
Like, a portion of pubic hair, and, like, they're... I know, the ratings board went fucking insane. It blows my mind, seriously. They need some women on that ratings board, apparently. Bunch of white old men with no sense of humor.
Crazy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've... Put me on the board. I'll watch the film and rate it.
That's right. Everything we made a G. G.
I would totally let my 4-year-old nephew watch this.
That's right. That's right. Also opening a limited release, Iñárritu returns with Javier Bardem in Beautiful. And this Bardem plays a man who is able to read the lives or something of the recently deceased. The trailer looks pretty. The film is apparently really brutal. It played at VIFF and a few of our buds watched it and really, really liked it. Had good things to say. Bardem won the Best Actor Award at Cannes. You interested?
Yeah. You know what? Not from actually watching the trailer, not from the description. And you know what? As much as I like Bardem, and not specifically for the hottie that spoke Portuguese the other day, which melted you entirely. Because people like Khalid and things like that were actually talking about.
Yeah, raving about.
Yeah, so yeah. I trust my friends.
And it opens in Vancouver January 28th at the Fifth Avenue. And we're going to finish off the month, the official month, with Mike Leigh's Another Year with Jim Broadbent and Ruth Sheen. And it's basically about a married couple. They're older, and it's basically just like the seasons of their lives. I must admit, the trailer is nice, but really doesn't do much for me. But Bill saw this at VIFF. I think he saw it twice. And both times he's like, that movie is awesome. It devastated me. And I'm like, seriously?
That's weird.
I know. I still can't see it in the trailer.
I don't picture him as a guy that gets devastated often.
Exactly. So I can't help but think that maybe there's something more going on here. And I must say that Mike at Row 3 has also been, Mike Rott's been pushing this pretty hard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he really, really liked this.
Then it must be better than the trailer, because the trailer didn't really do anything.
No, ditto. And for us Vancouver folks, opens at the Park on January the 14th.
All right, the Park.
Yeah, so I thought I'd just finish off. I sort of did a roundup of what's playing around town for the next month. And there is some good stuff, so just bear with me for a second here while we sort of go through the list.
Okay.
We'll start with the Cinematheque. Up until December 9th, they're showing the European Union Film Festival, so there's a bunch of films from a number of European countries playing, and some really good selections, most of them recent from the last year or from 2010. They also have a Portugal mini-fest. Seriously? It's like Vancouver's turned Portugal crazy over December because there's Portuguese films playing everywhere.
You just can't get rid of them.
No, you can't. I love it. The Cinematheque is playing Pedro Costa's documentary Ne Change Rien, which I actually tried to watch at VIFF in 2009, and I must admit I didn't make it all the way through. It just wasn't doing anything for me. Though if you love French music, this is probably right up your alley because the woman's got a beautiful voice. They also have, and this is interesting because I'm not familiar with this director, Miguel Gomez. He's another Portuguese director. He's been making films since like the late 70s, but he's only made two features and a bunch of short films. But they've been sort of called magical and really imaginative, and apparently he does some really interesting things with the camera. And they're having a mini marathon of his films. They're showing The Face You Deserve, which was his first film, I believe. And then a collection of his short films called Christmas Inventory. And then Our Beloved Month of August from actually 2 years ago. And it's playing at the Cinematheque, and later in the month it's playing at the Vance City. So if you miss it, the Cinematheque, there's another chance to see that. And also sort of in that theme of Portugal, but directed by a French director, is Eugene Green's The Portuguese Nun, which was really well received in 2009. Other interesting stuff opening at the Cinematheque. Billy Wilder's The Apartment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a screening of Albert Lamoureux's The Red Balloon, double billed with White Mare. I wasn't a big fan of The Red Balloon, but there's a double bill there. And for Christmas, a matinee screening of A Christmas Story on December the 19th.
God. Sickening sentimentality.
Oh, whatever.
Where's the recap of The Ref? That's probably one of my favorite Christmas films.
You and Dale, man.
I know. I never thought about that until you pointed it out, and it's totally a Christmas film.
Very true. In passing, The King's Speech opens at the Park on December 10th. worth mentioning.
Oh, I want to see that awesome. Badly.
Yeah, me too. I'm still there. And then we'll finish with the Van City, which is like, I could live at the Van City for the next month.
Comfiest chairs possible.
Well, this lineup is pretty insane.
Okay.
Gaspar Noé's Enter the Void.
Awesome.
Playing December 10th to the 18th. Bruce McDonald's Trigger.
Kick ass.
So if you miss it at Whistler, you can watch it at the Van City Theater. Plays December 10th to the 16th. They're doing a Carlos Sara's double bill, which I'm very excited about. They've got Fados playing December 3rd to the 6th. And then I, Don Giovanni, which looks amazing, December 17th to the 28th. And that one, I remember seeing a trailer for that last year. It played the festival circuit last year and it never opened here. So
I, Giovanni, is it like a period piece kind of thing?
Yes.
Oh, I may have to go.
Based on the opera.
Nice.
Also, In Search of Mozart and In Search of Beethoven, those films have both played at the Van City in the past year. They're playing one day only on December the 22nd. There are two matinee shows back to back. And the director is actually in attendance, is going to be doing Q&As. So that might be totally worth checking out. One for you, Lawrence of Arabia in 35mm. Playing two shows on December the 17th, the 27th. Barry Lyndon.
Not so much.
Also playing two shows, also 35mm. This is a cool double bill. Satoshi Kon. They're doing sort of a mini retrospective. On December 30th, one show only of Paprika and Tokyo Godfathers. Mm-hmm. And those are showing back to back. And also P.T. Anderson's Boogie Nights is screening on December 30th and January 2nd.
Not so much.
So that is your movie schedule for Vancouver and the world for the next couple of weeks.
Damn Skippy
is right. So it's very late. We're going to sign off now because I think we're going to record one more quick little show.
Okay.
Colleen's looking at the time like, okay, it's bedtime.
See, my body automatically wakes me up around 5:30 in the morning, whether I like it or not.
And what time is it now?
It's 1:35.
Okay. I figure if
it's all good. It's all good.
I figure if I get to bed by 4, I'll be okay to function tomorrow.
That's why I took extra time off at the end of the festival. So I'm a complete wreck, I still can recuperate.
Good call, woman. So yeah, stay tuned to this space, row3.com, for more updates from beautiful Whistler and a bunch of movies that we're going to be seeing over the next few days. And all of the reviews are going up on Quiet Earth, so be sure to go by there and check out the reviews for the films as they go up. Hopefully I'll get most of them up during the festival, otherwise look for them after the festival. But yeah, just stay tuned because we'll be back probably very, very shortly. Until next time.
We'll see you at some point after the credits. I forget. Did I do both parts?
Right, but yeah. You need to do your little...